Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. When is personal growth work selfish? This is a question for those of you who maybe have guilt or some fear around, you know, when I do this work, you know, I really love personal growth work. I love reading self-help books. And does that mean I'm a navel gazer? Does it mean I'm full of myself? I know the self-help section of the bookstore, or now the, you know, online bookstores, have a kind of joke about them. I know this. Like, there's a little, some people proudly walk into that section. Other people, it's kind of sheepish. It's a joke to some people, this idea of self-help. It's selfish. I find this word really interesting. I like thinking about language quite a lot. And you know what's so funny is the, you know, I've spoken before about selfies and selfishness, and obviously my work is self-marriage. So part of my work has been embracing this, right? Not feeling ashamed or bashful about going into a self-help section at all. But think about the word selfish, because this is not my area of expertise, but the ish at the end, you know, like that doesn't mean, when I think of ish at the end of a word, like, oh, it's smallish, it's red-ish, it's, you know, nice-ish, it kind of means like not quite, right? Like it's almost there, but not quite. So that seems counter to how we, you know, use the word selfish, right? It's like, you're so full of yourself, you're selfish. But actually, if you look at the word, it's like, maybe you're not quite self enough. Da-da. We're going deep here, people. But isn't that interesting? Selfish. Not quite fully self. Okay. Not quite. Not whole. Something is missing. If there's an ish, we're not all the way there. There's no big aha at the end of that. I'm just tossing that out there because I think it's really interesting. There's a funny relationship with this, with us, with ourselves, with personal growth work. So what is personal growth work? I mean, basically, personal growth work is when we learn about ourselves. We educate ourselves on who we are, on what parts of us are actually just defense mechanisms. We find out what we want, what parts of our personality are actually habits developed from fear. What are our dreams? What are our values? How are we communicating? How can we better communicate? What parts of our personality have we actually just inherited and then accepted by default? What do we really want? Personal growth work is asking these questions, taking the time to listen, putting our lessons into action. But there's so much noise in our lives that often we need to retreat to be able to begin to hear our own answers to these questions. And often, these answers are buried under many layers of contemplation, many layers of protection. Depending on how much life you've lived, that doesn't necessarily mean years, but just how full of a life you're living, there might be quite a lot of layers. And we might think that we know what we really want, but I want you to think about that for a moment right now. What do you really want? What comes to your mind when I ask you, listener, what do you want? And notice how specific or non-specific the answers are that might be floating up. Like if you said, happy, I want to be happy. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? What would being happy give you? Like, what difference does it make? So you want to be happy, then you're happy. What difference does that make in your life? Why do you want these things? Do you notice that when I ask you what you want, do you notice maybe a part of your mind coming back with, well, that depends? Or, well, what are the choices? You know, I think that a lot of us answer this question about what we want based on what we think we can get, what we think is realistic or possible or okay. But if you were listening, that was not the question. The question wasn't, what do you want in this context? It's just, what do you really want? And so how do you get what you want in your life if you're not even sure what it is that you want? If we were at a drive-through window and this was your chance to place an order, well, like imagine that, right? Like you pull up in your car and it's like, can I take your order? And you're like, well, I don't know. What's realistic? What's possible? What's okay? What can I get away with? I mean, the flaw in this metaphor, of course, you know, I love metaphors. They're not all perfect. I leap around a little bit from metaphor to metaphor. The flaw in this metaphor is that, of course, you're imagining a limited menu set up by the fast food place that we're driving through, a menu set up by someone else. But in life, we get to imagine our own menu. You're not limited by that, you know, screen out front listing like, these are the three choices. These are the combos. You get to imagine anything. You get to want anything. And so, of course, these are important questions. And we can find answers when we retreat. That means, you know, when I say retreat, I mean just retreat into ourselves, retreat inward. So quiet time, some introspection. It could be an actual retreat. That's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity if you can do that, make that happen. An important part of the learning process, the retreating and the listening, but it's not the whole thing. So you may have heard, you know, it's one thing to meditate and find peace in isolation. Like you go away, speaking of retreats, you might go to like a silent meditation retreat for 10 days and you get a bowl of food in the morning and a bowl of food at night and your job is to meditate. Or you're off, you know, in a cave somewhere and there's just like nature and you can just go silent. That's one thing. I'm not saying that's easy, but that's one thing. It is an entirely different thing when you come home and you have to keep that peace at a family dinner with your brother-in-law who is always yelling and is always right. And it's another thing to be the peace that you want in the world. When you work with someone, maybe you share a desk with someone whose dramas are unrelenting and result in you having to change plans or pick up the slack or just hear their complaints all day, every day. That's another thing, being the peace in that circumstance. How about being the peace when you're in traffic, when you are a parent? When the loudest of world news is horrifying, how do you be the peace? When your lover says, you know, I'm not happy anymore, how do you be the peace? How do you keep that work alive in your life? You know, it kind of might make you want to retreat all over again, like be like, I don't like this. I'm going to go back to that cave. I'm going to go sign up for another 10 days of silent retreat. The retreating is important, but it's not a hiding place. It serves a purpose. It's like a training ground. But should you wish to live a life with other people, you know, and that's most of us, we need to learn how to complete that, how to move that forward, how to take the work from the retreat, the answers that we hear when we listen to ourselves, and bring that into our lives with all the other amazing, flawed, complicated, beautiful people in our lives. So when Is personal growth work selfish? I have a story to tell you. It is a story about Pilates. Now, I don't know how many of you do Pilates. You don't have to do Pilates to follow the story. So, yes, where does the story begin? Well, I'm going to say it was about 2 years ago. And there's a longer story leading up to that. But I was finally ready to change my relationship with my body. And, you know, I knew that this was the place to go. I wanted to do something that was, I wanted to be aligned. I wanted to feel strong. I wanted to connect with my own body, with my own strength. I wanted to move. I wanted things to be easy. Like I wanted to start from the inside and let all the movements, you know, radiate out from there. Instead of, you know, everything in my body compensating for the misalignment of another part and all of the layers and complications about how I felt about my body and how I felt about moving in my body. So I made this decision and I went to see someone who was recommended to me, who is a wonderful practitioner and instructor in Pilates. And when I came to see her, we sat with her and I said, I want to be in the best shape of my life in 10 years. And, you know, I wanted to get to the heart of it. I wanted to respect the intellect of the amazing system of my own body. And it wasn't about getting back to another time. It wasn't about a 30-day guarantee. I knew finally I was ready to surrender. The body does not work that way, not for the long game. And I plan on rocking the long game. And I told her this. You know, could I skip this part? Could you skip the foundations? Could you skip the core work? Yeah, of course you can. A lot of us do skip this work. We want things to be faster. We want immediate results. We think that we want, you know, so-called beach bodies or just to meet an ideal outside of who we are. We want to fit in. We want to fit into a dress, to our old jeans, to expectations. We want to boot camp. We want to bypass. I know this is the more popular fitness goal. And I know this because when I told my instructor that my goal was to be in the best shape of my life in 10 years, I saw her eyes sparkle. She smiled at me. And I know that sparkle. I recognize it because this is the look of someone who is excited about getting to really do the work that she truly believes in. I know that. I feel that when a client comes to me and they are ready and I'm like, yes, I know it. So I recognize that in her. And she knew that I got it and what we were going to build a foundation together. I wanted an education. I also, side note, but I also told her that this was not about weight at all. And I requested on that first meeting with her that it never come up in our work together. And, you know, that was a big move for me to speak up like that. And I mentioned that because in case any of you are working with any yoga instructors, fitness instructors, teachers, whatever, and you don't want to hear, you're not motivated by that, and you don't want that diet culture reinforced in this place of fitness. I think part of the bigger story before I arrived at this Pilates studio was, of course, about body image and about not finding a safe place to connect with my strength and my goals. Because so many places, even places that I thought were off limits, right? I thought, oh, I'll go to a yoga class because we're going to talk about energy and spirit and whatever. And it's not about that. And sure enough, I'm sure you've had this experience as well. You know, yoga teachers are human beings and we're all, surprise, and we're all in this together. We are like marinating in this diet culture. And, you know, it was really challenging for me to be, you know, trying to breathe and connect and come home to my body while my yoga teacher was talking about, you know, if we hold this pose for a little while longer, we can have an extra piece of chocolate cake at, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or whatever. I couldn't return to classes like that. That was the state I was in. So I needed this to be a safe place. And part of my self-love was speaking up and requesting this of my instructor. And she got it. And that was great. So, and I'm still in my journey with my body. I, of course, am adapting my movement practice with my brain injury. And I can do that now. I didn't know I was going to get a brain injury, obviously. But I can do that now because my goal was for 10 years, right? So I'm not in a rush. So when I got this injury, I'm like, okay, this is part of the longer game. My overall well-being and fitness and strength is part of this 10-year journey. And 10 years is just the first goal. It's a lifelong journey. But I'm looking for the slow foundational build, which is the sustainable build. I wanted to build my core. You know, when I first got there, I couldn't lay down on my back. We were just laying on a mat. And I couldn't just lay down and breathe, the most simplest position, without things seizing up, without needing extra support, just to be in alignment for the first time. You know, and so that's not fun. I used to dance like almost every night of the week when I was a teenager. I have done all kinds of active fitness things, and it's very humbling to have to just, you know, lay still and breathe, and that be the work, that be my growing edge of fitness. Everything has changed since then. I have an entirely new relationship with my body, but that's not the point of this. So the point of this, let's come back. So if personal growth work is fitness, I see self-love as core work. It supports all the other activity. So you can skip it. Sure, like not everybody does core work. Not everybody does Pilates. There's lots of different ways to be moving our body. And any way that you move your body, breathing is great. So you can skip it, of course. But core work is a game changer, period. It is looking at your potential strength 10 years from now. You know, it's not fitting back into the jeans that you wore to see Def Leppard. It's not, you know, trying to please people in the short term so that they won't leave. It is looking at the quality of all the relationships that enrich your life. It's looking at the strength that you're going to have in the future. It's standing up for what you believe in, not knee-jerking reactions from guilt and fear because you're wobbly, your core is not stable, your core is not strong. The core is self-love of all personal growth work. It's a game changer. The core gets to the heart of it. Let's get to your heart, right down to the brilliant, intelligent map that we were each born with. The immaculate design of your own unique beauty and gifts. It has to start with the self. It starts with you. This is why self-love matters. Because the world needs you. You're the only one who can bring yourself to life ever. So, when is personal growth work selfish? I'm going to actually answer the question this time. When is personal growth work selfish? When we don't do it. Because when we don't do it, we not only miss out on seeing what we truly have the capacity to become, but our own lack of self-awareness can also have a big impact on the lives of others. Let me tell you what I mean. So if you're doing self-marriage work, you know, you're looking at your values, you're looking at love, you have an idea of who you are and what you want. When you do that work, it is such a benefit for others. Because people who don't do this work might often find themselves, in relationships that are unfulfilling and misaligned. They might find themselves miserable, bored, and frustrated. and not really sure why. They might be snipping at one another in their relationships, blaming one another for their unhappiness. They might be doing what they think they should do without doing the work of thinking about it, of thinking about why. Why should we be doing this? Again, what do I really want? So let me ask you this. What is a bigger waste of time? Navel gazing? Or spending 8 years of your life with someone who actually wants very different things than you do? It doesn't mean that you won't change or evolve in 8 years. You know, we get into relationships where we're always moving and changing, transforming. And a lot of the times, relationships can come to an end when someone is growing at a faster rate than the other person or in a different direction. You know, but there are certain things like values and priorities that can be strong predictors in the success of a romantic partnership. I have another question. Has your own lack of clarity gotten in the way of other people making decisions that they might have made had they known the truth earlier? Like, what if you haven't come to terms with your sexuality? What if you just kind of shove that away? We're like, well, that's hard. I'm not going to do that right now. What about your desire to live in the country? What if you're in the city right now and you kind of hate it? It makes your soul sick. You don't really want to be here. And your partner is committed to living in the city that they love. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that lack of clarity and thought, why didn't you say this sooner? You know, I love the scene, as you may recall. I've mentioned this a few times, the movie The Wedding Singer, where our hero, Adam Sandler, is, stood up at the altar at the beginning of the film. And when they talk the next day, you know, his fiance is talking about, you know, she's finally revealing all these things that she wants and how they weren't in line with what he wants. And he's like, you know, this is information that could have come in really handy yesterday. It's not funny, but it's really, but his delivery is funny. But it's so true, right? Like that character, the fiance's character, what, you know, she could have done this work, right? If she had married herself a little earlier and figured all that stuff out, she could have saved him that moment. Things could have been different. I know so many couples, maybe you do too, maybe you are one of these couples, who don't ever talk about money or sex or kids in the early months of their dating. This blows my mind. Like, blows my mind. These are the three major, major topics that if you're looking, you know, this is in the context, of course, if you're looking for a partner and you're going to look for a long-term partnership of some kind with this person, you need to know these things, right? I mean, often it'll take a big crisis or like a big moment, like in the movie, it was like, oh God, the wedding, I can't walk down the aisle. And it breaks someone into the realization. It forces you to go, oh my God, wait a minute, I don't want this. Which can just be so painful and unnecessarily messy. It doesn't have to be as painful as it often is. When you do personal growth work, you can ease the flow of these transitions. It doesn't mean you're living a pain-free life. This is a very specific kind of mess and pain that I'm talking about. Because even if the truth is, you know, I don't know if I want this. You know, sometimes I love the city. Sometimes, I don't know, I think about leaving. That is still valuable information for someone that you're building a life with. That's something that they can go, okay, they can make an informed choice. My partner is uncertain about this. My partner is undecided about kids. That is information. You know, you don't have to have it all figured out to be honest. So when is personal growth selfish? It's when you don't do it. Self-marriage, you know, this is you in a committed, you're always in a relationship with yourself, whether you want to acknowledge that or not. And self-marriage is when you're in a committed relationship with you. And getting to know who you are, if you're already on this path, then you know it is not fluffy stuff here. It is true power. It is your life. You have the power to make better choices and to help other people in your life make choices that are right for them. It is so much about the course of your life, how much time you spend in one place. If you don't know what your deal breakers are, how do you know what to say yes to? If you don't know what your boundaries are, how can you have any? Where is the container for the kinds of relationships that you want and that you're going to thrive in? If you don't know where you want to go, how can you take confident steps in that direction? And if you don't know what you want, how can you get what you want? I know I'm full of breezy questions today. You listening to this right now, dear listener, this is part of the work. Having a coach, of course, makes this process go so much faster because coaches, we can see things and hear things under the layers. You know, we can shine light on the moment when you identify a dream, but, you know, maybe you're still dreaming from fear. And coaches can ask the questions that may seem deceptively simple and hold the conversation there so that you can take a deep breath and, oh, look at that, the truth fluttering out, surprising you. And the difference, of course, between a coach asking these questions and a friend asking these questions is it's our job as coaches to be completely invested and in love with your full potential and your future. Sometimes the people who are close to you in your life, well, they have an agenda. Not like a evil agenda, but I mean, I always like to use my mom as an example for this because I know that my mom loves me, which also means that she wants to keep me safe. And so if it were, it isn't currently, but if it were my mission, if it was like my true desire to go on some like big excursion, traveling to like parts of the world on my own, maybe places that where there's some real risk involved and I'm going to be far away. You know, of course, my mom, as much as she loves me, and of course she wants me to be my best self in this world, I know this about her. She's not going to want me to leave. You know, she's not going to be like, yeah, hitchhike, get on that plane. It's a little choppy, but, you know, life is short. She's not going to say that because she has an agenda, and the agenda is to be near me and to love me as long as she can and be close to me, right? Your friends who care about you, who have the best of intentions, may not be able to sit in the discomfort and really hold space for the things that you're not even sure. You don't even know how you feel about them yet, right? You know, the same thing happens in a gym, right? So it's like, and maybe some of you are great independent people with your fitness program. A lot of people are not, okay? So in a gym, you can do the work yourself. You can go, you can work out. I could work out right here, lay on the floor and do some sit-ups if I wanted to, but I pretty much never do that, okay? I do so much better with somebody there with me. It's like someone sitting at your feet telling you that you can do this. And also like someone who's trained in the activity itself, a trained coach, if you're working on your body and your physical strength, they can look at you and help you align your form so that you are getting the most out of your work. I mean, maybe if you've been to a gym, you've seen people pumping and grunting and going through some machine and you're looking at them and you're like, oh man, that's not good. Like you can just tell they're just like swinging for momentum. They're not doing it properly. They're not getting the most out of this. They're going through the motions, but if the goal is to be strong and to build a strong, stable body, they're going through the motions. They're going about it the wrong way. They're, you know, possibly straining themselves and possibly often injuring themselves, right? There's a good pain and there's a bad pain. To come back to my Pilates instructor, I have a one of my favorite moments was when I, the first time we were moving along, so now I was somewhat able to lay flat on my back for a while, and we were moving on to doing some exercises with my arms, not my strongest part of my body. And, you know, I'm doing the things and she's counting. And, you know, I immediately started feeling exhausted, tired, strained. It was like, oh, God. And I barked up like it was an emergency. And I was like, my arms are hurting. And I was saying this like it's an emergency. Like, okay, there's something wrong. My arms are hurting. And, you know, I wanted, of course, I was like thinking she was like, okay, we stop, right? With this pain, so we stop. And she is a well-trained professional, and she stood there. She also knew what I was capable of. And she was standing there. She just kept nodding, and she kept counting. And I said, my arms are hurting. And she didn't skip a beat. She said, your arms are working. That's right. We're going to do 8 more of these. And like, I just kept doing it, and I was like, huh? Like, my brain just like needed to like rearrange itself. And I realized she was right. This is the feeling of my muscles working. This doesn't mean there's something wrong. With personal growth work, it's the same. It's not all like, you know, super fun, checking off the list, rocking it out. To get to those wins and to get to the growth, there is discomfort. There is a strain. If we're working new muscles that you haven't had before, the whole point is you having a transformative experience. You have to go through something. You're going to work muscles you haven't worked. It's going to be strange. It's going to be unfamiliar, right? And so you need someone with you to be like, yeah, this is you working. Yeah, let's do 8 more. It's really, really powerful thing to do. And it'll take time. Eventually, you'll start to recognize the difference on your own, where you're like, ah, this is a good pain. Got it. Okay. So one example of this, if you notice yourself, I'm assuming that if you're listening to this, you are into personal growth at the very least. So if you're doing that kind of work on your own and you notice yourself trying to figure yourself out. Now, when I say that, I'm like thinking about that front part of the forehead, you know, it's kind of like squeezing in together. You're trying to figure it out. You read some self-help book, you listen to a podcast, you're like, okay, what's my problem? What's my goal? What do I want? And it's all that tension in the front. This is a stress response. When we're stressed, we need to feel safe and we try to control things. Trying to find answers sometimes is trying to control things. It's not the same as growing. This is that difference between my arms are hurting, your arms are working. Sometimes your arms are hurting and you need to stop, right? Do you notice this about yourself when you're doing personal growth work, but it's not feeling good? Like it's feeling good in the bad way? That did not make sense. You're trying to figure it out like it's a puzzle, you know, like there's something wrong and you haven't put your finger on it just yet. That tension, that's not where growth happens. Okay, so beware, use your mind. Of course, our minds are powerful tools and they're very, very important. But beware of seeing yourself as an accomplishment to be perfected, because you are so much more powerful and glorious than this. You are far more mysterious than you often remember to give yourself credit for. You are not a mistake. You are a spectacular work of art with your own nuanced map of brilliance and strangeness. It's here for a reason. It's been delivered specifically to you. Don't you want to know more? You are someone worth loving, not figuring out, loving, discovering. It all starts with you. And if you are listening to this and you're feeling ready to say yes to getting to know yourself and maybe even falling in love a little, I will be taking new clients in September. So if you want to see what you are capable of and begin to take action in your life that will bring harmony in your heart, send me an email and we can set up a phone call, just you and me. That's Danette at RadicalCreativeSanctuary.com. Do it. The work is worth it, and so are you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, self-loving week. I will talk to you soon.